from across the land, sea, and air.
Jacob and Tom walk into a podcast.
Hello, I'm Tom Shanahan.
And I'm Jacob Mayer.
We became friends while living abroad, and now we're back in our home countries.
Join us as we reconnect and bring you the best of our weekly chats. Happy New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year 2021.
We made it.
It's going to be light and breezy and easy peasy from here on in.
That's right. Tom is trying to be light and breezy today.
I am chilling
Tom,
out.
Yes.
I'm less relaxed.
You are light.
We're going to be super positive.
Actually, though, you really are, though. You seem very light and breezy today.
I am. I've had a very relaxed day. It's been very good.
That's good.
Yeah, I've had a nice bath and, you know, the kids have been out of the house for a bit. It's been great.
Yeah.
I'm just
how long will they be? How long will they be out of the house? That's the question.
Yeah, well, the nightmare will start again tomorrow.
No, it's good. That's cool. That's good to have a little break.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one needs it, definitely.
Yeah. So Tom, tell me about some of the best of 2020.
No.
What do you feel? What are some of the things of 2020 that like? Because. There were really great things that happened.
There were. I have a quote here that'll just get us in the mood for 2020 and us talking
about 2021 or 2020?
2020, sorry. I phrased that.
Okay. We're taking a quick look back here.
So this is a lovely quote I found on a website, and it said, "So far, 2020 is like looking both ways before you cross the street, then getting hit by an airplane." So, on that note,
sounds about right.
Yeah, 2020. I'll tell you one positive thing is actually starting this podcast. I'm really enjoying the process of kind of like researching things and increasing my knowledge about things, and then talking about stuff to you. It's been really positive for me anyway.
Yeah, I feel so too. I've really enjoyed it. It's and. Been cool. I think we're going to be doing some interesting things in 2021 with the podcast. So
yeah,
I'm really excited about that. I think it was a really definitely a highlight for me.
I 2020. Suppose on a general note, like opening new avenues and looking for different paths in life. That's been a positive. I think a lot of people have kind of thought about that and in 2020.
Yeah, well, my sister's got a podcast going too, which is really cool. And now I'm What is it called?
Podcast? What's the premise of your sister's podcast, Jacob?
The premise of her podcast is to discuss lesbian love stories. So she gets together with a couple of her friends, and they've all read through a particular lesbian romance novel.
Uh-huh.
And I've only listened to a couple of her episodes, but. Oh yeah, they're called the Clitterary Society. That's the name of their podcast.
Sorry.
It cracks me up though. It's funny. It's really funny. I only listened to one of the episodes. It's pretty good. It's because some of the novels that they look at are just so obscure and odd and funny. The one I was listening to. Mm-hmm. Was about these two women, and one was like a sailor, a rough and tough sailor out in sea, and the other was an environmental lawyer. And somehow she gets stuck out on a boat with this rough and tough sailor woman. It's such an odd story.
<That's weird.
laughs> You know, and they're like trapped at sea, and of course they fall for each other.
I have a very dirty quote here. I don't know if you want to hear it. When you said the name, what was the name of the podcast again? The Clitterary Society.
Yeah, like just, literary. Clitterary. Yeah, no, I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, that's a good name. It's a good name. But do you know Betty Weiss from the Golden...
Yeah.
I have a quote here in front of me. I don't know if it's from her or not, but it says it's from her. And it says, "Why do people say, grow some balls? Balls are weak and sensitive. If we want to get tough, grow a vagina. Those things... sorry. Those things take a pounding."
I mean, well, okay.
This is gonna be, yeah.
It's pretty good. It's a good one. It's a good one. I don't.
It just reminded me when you said that. It was like, oh,
yeah. That's from Betty White.
Betty White.
Oh my gosh.
Great. Oh, she's fantastic. She says some stuff, doesn't she? So what are some positive things on your mind, Jacob?
Oh, positive things. Well, yeah, definitely the podcasting. For me also, this year, because of all the lockdowns mm-hmm. and the issues with gatherings, I was pushed to do a lot more playing music outside. And and that's been really nice, just, you know, being outside by the ocean. Sure, I could have done that before, but I never really put myself out there to do that. I'd worry about sand and instruments or rain, and I'd just be a little more nervous about it. But this year, I really pushed myself to do that, and so I've done a lot of outdoor playing music and getting together with people outside, which is a really freeing kind of experience. So I really enjoyed that this year. And I started investing this year, which is something I was interested in. So that was another thing that I think has been really positive, in that I haven't lost all the money I've been investing, which is kind of the goal of investing, like not to lose the money.
Don't lose the money. Well, you know, it would be nice if you made some as well. But
But actually, so I think it's Warren Buffett. He's that really famous investor. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of his quotes where he has some, I don't remember the exact quote, but it has to do with not losing the money. If your main goal is to make money, then you're too focused on the earning. Mm. But as long as you're not losing the money, then you're okay. I don't remember his exact words for it, but that was the implication. So
that's a good way of saying.
I've made a little bit of money. Mm. Yeah, I made a little bit of money, and I haven't lost the money I've invested. So yeah, I feel okay about that, and I've enjoyed kind of learning about how that works.
Cool. On your point about being outside, I don't know if everybody's gone through this, but we've definitely gone and explored, because we couldn't travel abroad, and because we were within a certain area, we could stay in certain areas. We've definitely explored like our locale a little bit more, and gone looking around Ireland a little bit more. Because we were thinking of going to England or maybe Scotland or something like that for some holidays this year.
Oh, that'd be really cool too. But have you been to Scotland?
I've been to Edinburgh twice over a 15-year period. So
I've always wanted to go up into the north and see like the Highlands. And
I was actually planning on going with a group of dancers to a swing event in the Highlands. In March.
Oh wow, that sounds amazing.
For obvious reasons, it was cancelled. Mm. They say they're going to have it next year, but I mean, or this year. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Mm.
I was really excited to go up to the Highlands. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, we got to explore a lot of Western Ireland and kind of like the middle of Ireland a bit. It was nice. We found the largest stone circle in Europe. It's in the middle of Ireland, in the middle of nowhere. I have a picture on Instagram if anybody knows me on Instagram.
Wait, you discovered it?
No. I mean, we discovered it for ourselves.
For yourselves, yeah.
It's just in some farmer's land, and he just has a little rusty gate in front, and you got a little rusty donation box, and you can just walk in. It's kind of cool.
Well, you know, this is what I thought. I've heard about this. I don't know what the actual cultural rule or what the rules are for the country, but I've heard that in Great Britain, you can, I think it's a right to roam, where you have the right to basically walk through other people's land, which is a great right, because it means that anybody can go hiking through through the country with kind of freedom, as long as you're not causing disruption, which is wonderful, because it basically means like in the US, you're fenced off. If you're on somebody else's land, you can get shot even. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
I think I don't know about England or Great Britain. I think we're in Ireland, we're like America. You see signs up, no trespassers, this is private property.
You know?
I mean, we're not such a big country as well.
You'll see that in the UK farmers, as well.
Yeah, but I don't know about
But the actually you roam. Have a right to roam. I've heard this.
Interesting. I think in Norway.
Huh.
I've heard in Norway.
I'm pretty sure in the UK this is a thing.
Okay. I'm not sure.
I've I could be wrong, it may be just me fantasizing about, you know, wandering around the country freely, but I have a feeling that I've read this because hikers in the US look at this and find it to be a very amazing thing because
I'll
you can't
you
do it here.
What I think about this, I think maybe a lot of farmers, maybe they'll be, you know, they'll allow a path through their farm for hikers. Mm. They might allow a path.
Mm.
And it might be just kind of like an unwritten rule that you can just do this. But lawfully, they can stop people if they want it. Now, I know in Norway, and I hope I'm not mistaken, but I think in Norway, you have a right to roam. So you could go off into the wilderness where there's no private property. And you can find a spot and you can build a cabin.
Oh, wow.
You can just do that. And you don't need like any... I don't think you need like any, if it's a small cabin or something like that, I don't think you need any special permission.
Oh, wow.
So when you said right to roam, I was reminded of that in Norway. But again, it could be.
Hmm.
No, yeah, I think that's a, I have to check that out. But it's.
I thought this had something to do with, I thought on top of this being a hiking thing, my impression was that it had something to do with the transient communities, like the ethnically.
Like the
I'm not really sure. Travelers, yeah, I thought it might have something to do with that, but I could be wrong. I don't know enough about the culture in the UK. Anyway,
yeah.
Tom,
yeah,
maybe. Any other positive things from 2020?
Any other positive things?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, actually, related to what you're talking about, now that I'm thinking about it, one of the amazing things this year was, you know, 10 years living here in Hawaii, but I've never been able to, until this year, to go out to a beach. A completely empty beach, and it's unheard of. Like I would have never have imagined seeing parts of this island empty like that, and it was really beautiful to see. Or like go out onto some waves where there just aren't surfers out.
It's like going into a
that
forest.
Was a pretty amazing thing.
It's like going into a forest and there's no one there. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, awesome. So that was a pretty amazing experience this year. I wish I had taken more advantage of that when it was available. It's kind of probably once in a lifetime. I don't think the beaches here are, there are other beaches that are empty occasionally, but not like seeing like Waikiki Beach and the big tourist spots just empty. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Bit of a double-edged sword, but definitely positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Positive from
We're looking at positive things, Tom.
Sorry, it's just...
Positives.
It's just you say 2020 and I'm like, positive? What? Hey, I found a song.
Okay, let's
Christmas song.
Oh, okay.
And I hadn't heard this before.
Okay.
And I heard it this year and I'm like, this is just fantastic. And I'd like to play it. It's 2021. I know we're 2 weeks beyond Christmas, but... Let's do it.
Hey, I'm game.
Here we go.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much eggnog. And we begged her not to go, but she forgot her medication and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back.
That was Elmo and Patsy, Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, 1979.
Yeah, I've heard the song before. I've never seen the video.
Okay.
The song is very familiar. I think probably people of my generation definitely heard it as a kid. Like, as a kid, I've heard that one before.
Yeah, I only discovered it this year, and I thought, geez, that's just a fantastic song.
Yeah, it's good.
I just have to share with people who have never heard this song before. I've heard it about 10 times over Christmas, before Christmas, so I think... Most Irish people probably have heard it. But I thought, it's just a wonderful song. You know?
Yeah, it is a good one. It's a good one. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of my childhood. I'd hear it when I was a kid.
I'm getting drunk and just wandering off it.
Well, yeah, for me, actually, I didn't celebrate Christmas as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So for me, it's more like an association with like going out shopping around that time of year. And, you know, I'd hear that in the stores when I was a kid, or when I was like, maybe watching TV or something. Yeah. But it's a cool song. I really like that. It's one of the ones I remember and recognize thinking like, oh yeah, that was a great song.
There's a thing called going to Wamhalla here in Ireland. Have you heard of that?
No, what's that?
Do you know the song White Christmas? Last Christmas by Wham?
No. I don't know who Wham is. Who's Wham?
Gave you my heart. It's George Michael.
Oh, okay.
George Michael, the singer.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that song. Gave You My Heart. Yeah, George Michael.
Yeah, Last Christmas.
I've heard that before.
That's Wham.
Oh, okay.
George Michael, yeah, I just got that right.
That's a good song.
But that is like played to death here.
And in the US also, probably.
Yeah, well, there we go. So
those guys must make so much money every year on this on that song.
Well, unfortunately, George Michael is dead. He died there a couple of years. Did he die last year? Or did he die in 2016 when they killed off a load of celebrities?
My guess is there are a bunch of people that own the copyrights on that song, though, and they're still making lots of money off of that.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, that means there's a record company that probably owns the rights to that song.
Yeah. That's probably the 80s, I'd imagine.
Yeah. But, somebody's making a lot of money off of that.
There's a thing about going to Wamhalla. So, you know, it's a Facebook thing, I think.
Mm.
You know, if you can survive up to Christmas Day without hearing that song on the radio, that's like a pretty good achievement, and you haven't gone to like, you know, like Wamhalla, the afterlife in
Wamhalla.
You go to Wamhalla, so if you've heard it, you say, oh, I've been sent to Wamhalla, and you write it on Facebook. I think I got caught this year in November.
November. It's pretty early on.
The Christmas stuff was being pumped out immediately after Halloween.
Yeah, so we have usually, because we have Thanksgiving in November, we usually have that space. But if you don't have Thanksgiving, there's nothing before Christmas, right?
Yeah,
so that's...
We've taken on the Black Friday?
Black Friday.
Is it Black Friday? Yeah. That has started to creep into Ireland now.
Doesn't even make any sense if you don't have Thanksgiving.
Well, there we go. We started with the Black Friday sales.
Maybe you'll eventually adopt Thanksgiving and.
Maybe. I can see that. Like, we had an American girl here who was dancing. She was a dancer, and one year a bunch of swing dancers got together and we did Thanksgiving, just to celebrate it with her, you know, because she was here during Thanksgiving. So.
I've never been that clear about what Thanksgiving is, like what we're actually celebrating. In my family, we just generally give thanks to each other because we're not really sure what to do. But in the States, I think it has something more to do with the settlers and the Indians. There's some story about it, but it never quite made sense to me.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Wamhalla.
Wamhalla, man. Wamhalla.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. I'll play you one here. I brought a song as well, and this is a so I picked this song because I just have played it a lot, not in terms of listening to it, but I've been playing it with my students, teaching it to them. I've played this with some friends. It's become one of my favorite blues kind of improvisation songs, just to usually I played an F minor, but or F sharp minor sometimes. I have a friend that plays these wooden flutes, and for him it's easier to do an F sharp minor, so we kind of change around the keys. It was originally written by Nat Adderley, trumpet player, you know, Cannonball Adderley's brother. But I'm gonna play the Nina Simone version because it's got her singing, and it is, you know, she's just great. I've become a big fan of hers this year.
What's the name of the song?
It's called Work Song.
Cool.
And here we go.
Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang. Breaking rocks and serving my time. Breaking rocks out here on the chain gang.
cause you done convicted me of crime. Hold it steady right there while I hit it. Well, I reckon that ought to get it. Been working and working, but I still got so terribly far to go.
Oh, it's amazing, right?
Was that Cannonball Adderley?
No. I don't think this is Cannonball Adderley. This is she's.
Oh, that's Nina. Sorry. Yeah,
this is Nina. She's doing it. She's quite a while later. She's kind of taken up this song. A lot of people have done work song, but she does one of my favorite versions. But it's just a great melody. You know, it's great because it works well on a lot of different instruments. You can do it in a lot of different ways. With my students, I like doing a call and response where I'll have, you know, right now I've got one of my trombone student. He starts it off, da 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 da, and then I have my sax and my clarinet player. They will answer and they'll go ba 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 ba, and then he'll kind of go back and he'll restate the theme. So you kind of get it back and forth.
You're doing a call and response on 8 beats.
Every 2 measures. Yeah, every 8 beats. Yeah, exactly. Every two measures. So, and then at the very end, what I do is I have them all play the end section together, and then they restart it, or I'll switch off the call and response. It's a really fun song, and hopefully I can get some of my students improvising over it. Cool. For me, I love improvising over this song because it's just a great key on the guitar and great key on wind
instruments. It sounds like there's a lot of space to improvise. Going back to your point when you were talking about Mac the Knife.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about that space. So bam, ba-dum, bam, bam, da, da, there seems to be this. I think there's space in there anyway.
Yeah, I think so. It's not quite as much as Mac the Knife, but it's definitely there. And it's also because it's a slower song, so you're not rushing through the notes as much. But yeah,
it's slow, isn't it? Oh, it's cool.
Yeah, it's really great for percussionists. So right now I've got these four kids. Well, I've been playing with some of my friends too, but I've got these four kids practicing it. And one of them's on the drums, and then one of them is trombone, sax, and clarinet. And there's a lot you can do with the drum set because the drum is kind of leading it. They're starting with that first beat, that one, ba 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 ba, one. The percussion's kind of leading the piece in a lot of ways, I feel. So the percussionist has a lot of freedom to improvise and do a lot of different things, especially. It's true. It's a cool piece. I have one other piece to play, Tom, that is just it's another piece that I have spent a lot of time with this year, and it's an old folk song. It's very well known. It's American folk song. But this year in particular, I just have gotten really into it. I've listened to a lot of different versions, and I'm going to play an instrumental version by a musician that I kind of discovered this year, which I'm a fan of. The piece is Wayfaring Stranger. It's an old American folk song, but I'm not going to play it. I'm going to play an instrumental version of this one. It's by a guitarist, and the guitarist's name is Justin Johnson, and I just discovered him through some YouTube videos, and then I started listening to him on Spotify. I think he's just a great guitarist, and I think he does a great version of this, so I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but I'm just going to introduce it, and here it is. Wayfaring Stranger, Justin Johnson.
the double bass is interesting. It was kind of going bum, and it was letting
kind of like a gong, right?
Yeah, it was like kind of reminded me of the point you just made about the drums and the other one where it went one.
Yeah.
The bass
was
like going boom.
Yeah.
Letting that go, you know.
Yeah, it's really cool, and this guy Justin Johnson, he plays a lot of kind of blues, but also he'll play instrumental. It's all instrumental, but he'll play on different types of guitars. You should check out, if you're interested in guitar at all, you check out his YouTube channel. He'll play, I think people just send him guitars to play on, because sometimes he'll unbox this random weird guitar.
All right.
Yeah, like one time this guy from Poland sent him some unusual guitar that he'd made, and he unboxed it and played it a little bit. The guy is amazing.
Awesome. Has anybody sent him a shamisen?
I don't know. If I had the money, I'd do it. I wish I could play like that guy. It's goals. Awesome. But, you know.
And this guy, Justin, he's obviously contemporary, but has he been around a while? Or
I don't think he's probably, he's not, he seems like he's must be in his 20s or early 30s.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's a pretty young kind of,
like us, Jacob. We're pretty young.
Relatively. Not that old yet. Yeah, but
I'm
those are the.
Despite what anybody wants to say to me, I am a young man.
Yes, you are, Dom. Those are
20-year-old will look at me and go, "No, you're not."
But yeah, those are two. I've got a lot of songs that I've spent time on this year, but those are two that I just wanted to bring up because 2020 felt like I spent a lot of time on those. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I learned them inside and out in a lot of different keys on a number of instruments. They weren't just listening songs for me. They're kind of songs that I've worked on a lot.
Mm. And why did you pick those songs, can I ask?
Yeah, interesting. I'm not really sure. The work song, well, you know, I do have a specific reason. So work song, I picked specifically because I was looking for a blues piece that would be both exciting for me to play and to learn, but also simple enough for me to teach students, like younger students. And I felt like work song, while I was doing that search, and that's when I discovered work song, I thought this is great. There are a lot of versions of this. The lyrics are interesting, the history behind it, it's interesting, the song is exciting, it's got a good melody. It just felt like there was a lot I could do with that. And then Wayfaring Stranger is one I actually, it's just a very well-known old folk song. So I've known it for a long time. And I stumbled onto a few versions of it while I was thinking about, I often find these pieces because I'm thinking about something that will both be interesting for me and interesting for students. And I also usually like to find something that is a piece of a song or a piece of or a melody or musical idea that isn't within that is in the free use category.
Okay.
So that, you know, if I want to record something or if I spend a lot of time with one of these songs, I want to be able to record it eventually, and I can do that with these. So there are like a couple of like specific reasons why I started working on these.
What year is work song? So that must be over 70 years old, is it? If it's in the free use category.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's from, like, isn't that from the 30s or 40s?
I don't know.
I could be wrong. Actually, I'm not sure if that's in free use, but I think it is.
When I Google this, Hozier comes up.
But the thing is, with it doesn't really matter for those kind of things if it's in free use or not, like a jazz standard.
Right? All right, okay.
Because they're not composed the same way as, like, jazz standards and folk songs. Even though Nat Adderley wrote that main melody initially, if you perform it, you can perform it with so much flexibility that copyright actually doesn't affect it, I think.
All right, okay.
As long as you're not just playing it exactly the same as Nat Adderley or Nina Simone, which nobody does. I wouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think that's okay with those kind of pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like them.
Yeah,
well, they're cool. I'm going to listen to them again.
I think maybe in 2021 we should dedicate at some point, maybe pick one or two of them and dedicate an episode.
I think we'll do that.
Everybody, 2021?
Let's make a promise. We're going to do that.
Yes.
We're going to do that in the next few episodes. We're going to pick one of those. Or even both. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. And 2021, we'll be doing a lot more.
2021 is going to be the greatest year.
Oh, really?
Of our lives.
Jacob. Really?
Of everybody's life.
We'll have to just go with that. That's the way it feels on January 1st, most years.
2020. Anyway, so, moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
I have a song.
Oh, cool.
I have a song. And this is something I had a pen pal when I was in my teens. He was a Japanese guy.
Hmm.
And he sent me a VHS at the time. So this is back in the 90s, late 90s.
Okay.
He sent me a VHS. And on it were two classic animes, like Japanese animes. One of them was called Laputa.
Okay.
And the other one was called Nausicaa. And they were both from the early 80s.
All right, cool.
And so this is very interesting that...
I haven't seen either of these.
Yeah, they're classic, like, Miyazaki.
Okay.
The classic Ghibli animes. But it was all in Japanese, so I didn't understand the word. I didn't speak Japanese then, or I didn't have much anyway. But, and now my kids are into Nausicaa. So I've been watching it a lot recently. It's a cool anime. But this song... So it's an interesting connection that was one of the first animes I've seen, and I've since watched it again, and I follow the story now because I could translate it into English, and my kids now are watching it, but they love the song from Nausicaa, the main melody from it, and I'd just like to play that, and this is a performance, so it's Nausicaa Requiem, and it's a performance by Aum J. Classic Orchestra. So they're a Japanese orchestra.
All right,
and
cool.
They play like Japanese instruments. So okay, let's play it.
I haven't seen the animation, but I feel like I could be taking a journey through the woods.
Yeah, that's interesting because it's all about a woods.
Yeah, and well,
insects, massive insects in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
A post-apocalyptic world and monsters and this princess.
Oh, gosh, now I need to see it. That sounds great.
It's a really good. It's a really cool. It's a classic. It's Miyazaki at his finest. It's one of the classic. It's like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, it's one of those classics.
You have to watch it.
Which is a great, Snow White is wonderful for 1937.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I've seen it before. I don't remember it.
It's, for the time, 37,
yeah.
I think they had hundreds of animators on it. Hundreds.
Yeah, I did like Miyazaki Sento Chihiro, the Spirited Away.
Oh, Spirited Away.
Yeah, I recently really rewatched some of that, and I think that's just a great, great animation.
That's really good.
It's just a great movie, actually, like in general. But then the fact that it's an animated movie makes it more impressive, you know?
I think most of the Ghibli stuff is fantastic.
Yeah,
well, Grave of the really Fireflies cool. is another one. Grave of the Fireflies is, I think, really good. It's very sad, but it's really good.
So what did you think about this Wagaki? Wagaki, by the way, means Japanese instruments. What did you think about the Japanese instrumental orchestration?
So, I had originally, and in the movie, it's the Western style orchestra.
Oh, really?
And so okay. They have some singing, and it's more Western. It's like violins and flutes and, the usual stuff.
Ah, okay.
I can't name any more instruments off the top of my head.
So, this is a special version of the melody from the movie.
Exactly. So, this group take a lot of anime stuff, and they take various songs and they work it into this specific orchestration with Japanese instruments.
Oh, that makes sense to me, yeah.
So that's what they're doing. So they took Nausicaa's Requiem, they took the melody and they made it their own with Japanese instruments in an orchestra, which is unusual. You were saying that usually the instruments would be played solo.
It's an ensemble piece. Like traditionally, yes, but you know, more modern musicians, they often take Western style music and will transpose it, or they'll be like partially trained on maybe piano, but then they'll learn koto and they'll mix these things together, for sure, modern musicians. Yeah. But traditionally, yeah, that's not the way Japanese music was traditionally played or performed.
Cool. So I really like it. It has a very almost ethereal sense to it, you know?
Yeah, it's really cool. It creates, I felt like, actually, I have never seen the movie, so I'm trying to imagine now what it would sound like on Western instruments. It just sounds so great on the Japanese traditional instruments. It really creates a sense of, yeah, I felt very much like I'm out in the woods trekking through, exploring, and in on a happy, positive, refreshing adventure, you know? Right?
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you want to hear it with the Western style?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. It's very magically presented with the Western instruments because the orchestration really highlights the flute with the voice. It has a very sparkly, magical feeling. A little more than, I think, the first one I heard. I felt that the first one I heard has a more natural in the forest feeling, where with the Western instruments, it has a more mystical, unearthly, otherworldly feeling a little more
like
to me
or something like that.
But both happening? Could be that way. They both have that sense, but having the kids sing the vocal parts,
it's lovely.
It gives a little bit of magic to it, I think, with the children's voices.
So at that moment, the character, and I'm going to spoil the movie now here, but the main character comes back to life. So it's a magical moment.
Yeah, it sounds like that. It sounds like that.
Where the creatures... So we hear that song throughout the whole movie at various points and various key points in the movie. But right at the end, it was where the insects called the Om bring the main character back to life using their special powers. So they're using a special magical power. So I think in the first one, we might be getting a sense of the forest and the wonder of nature.
Yeah. That's what I felt there.
It's the natural world. And maybe in the second one, we're getting the sense that there's a bit of magic going on here with life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for that scene, I think they made the right choice then.
There we go.
That's what I felt before knowing about the movie. So I feel like, oh, okay. I guess they made the right choice.
Yeah. So that was my piece.
That's a cool one, Tom.
To share with you to end our little 2021. First podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
End of year,
kind of like an end and a beginning. So for anybody who happens to be listening in, our tiny little audience, we are planning to we are planning to rework and rebrand our podcast a little bit for 2021. So that should be exciting, and I'm looking forward to that.
We're going to delve into music in a more interesting way.
Yes.
And we're going to, and I think a nice thing we're going to talk about. So we've been talking about swing and jazz related and that kind of broad category, but I'd like to explore a little bit of other folk music as well.
Yeah, that could be really cool.
A little hint to what we might be talking about next for our subscribers.
Yeah. Yeah, good one, Tom. I'm looking forward to it. Happy New Year, Tom, and Happy New Year, everybody listening in.
And on that note.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Cheers.